This is PFW in Progress.
What they bring us today, you're gonna fit in real good. You learn the rules. It's all up to you. I can be a good guy, or I can be one real mean son of a bitch. It's all up to you.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Them clothes got laundry numbers on them. You remember your number and always wear the ones that has your number. Any man forgets his number, spends the night in the box. These here spoons you keep with you. Any man loses his...
This is PFW in Progress.
Come to the coast. We'll get together. Have a few laughs.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Is that him?
I am in charge of this situation.
Oh, you're in charge.
Well, I got some bad news for you. I'm not the one who just got butt f***ed on national TV.
Brian Morey.
I wanted this to be professional, efficient, adult, cooperative. Not a lot to ask. So he won't be joining us for the rest of his life.
Paul Perillo.
Roy, are you all right?
Trying to fire than a thousand-year-old twink.
What do they put in these things anyway?
Sugar-enriched flour, partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, polysorbate 60, and yellow dye number 5.
And Andy. And Andy?
Mayday, mayday. Anyone copying Channel 9? Terrorists 6 or more armed with automatic weapons at Nakatomi Plaza.
This channel is reserved for emergency calls only.
Andy Hart.
Lady, do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?
Some guy named Tom.
Just another American who saw too many movies as a child. Another orphan of a bankrupt culture who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo, Marshall Dillon.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
PFW in Progress.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
Apparently, Brian Morey's back on the show. That's great. Did you hear it?
Yeah, no, it says he won't be joining us for the rest of his life.
Oh, okay.
You have to actually listen to the whole thing, Fred.
No, good. Well, anyway, Tom and Fred are here. And it's PFW in Progress time. It's noontime here in Patriots Nation. And that means it's time to take your calls and emails on the show. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Tom, how you doing?
I'm not doing bad.
You're not doing bad? That's good.
Everything's going all right.
Tom's dressed in a natty-looking long-sleeve black T-shirt. Looking good, Tom.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You know, I do my best.
Yeah. So what happened today? I was kind of running around this morning.
Nothing. It was one of the more useless press conferences of my tenure.
Really?
Talked about weight training. Perenni's writing a story on weight training because he thinks he's strong. He challenged me to a push-up contest, you know.
Mike Perenni did.
He does 60. I do... like 110 or 120, and somehow in 2 months he thinks he's going to be up, he's going to double what he does. So he's all into this workout stuff. So he's asking Bill about, you know, the workouts, and, you know, someone else got into it, asking questions. And
who else?
Bert, well, who do you think? Bert Breer, and then, you know, wasn't Nebraska Nebraska's where they first started using creatine and everything like that. And, you know, I know he already knows that because we already talked about it in the locker room once.
Right.
So basically, he's just asking Bill to recite what he already knows.
He's showing what he knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was basically all of that and then just crowd noise in a dome. Like, we had a question, do you try to jump out early to take the crowd out of it? No. You know, you want the crowd as loud as can possibly be.
Such an idiot.
Just basically, I mean, you know, questions that you already knew the answer to before you asked them. So nothing informative today.
Small crowd, I assume.
Yeah, very small.
Well, very small crowd. And, of course, the Patriots are going to be flying out. We'll be flying with them on Sunday this weekend because it's a Monday night game. And we're looking forward to the game, but
yeah.
We got a lot of work to do after that.
It's going to be a tough week for us.
It'll be a very tough week. We'll be out of sorts.
We could be a little edgy next week, just so you know.
Yeah. Okay, so that kind of sets it up. Nothing new. Of course, the locker room isn't open yet. It won't be open till what, 1:30
today? 1:30.
So haven't talked to the players yet. Some interesting stuff on Boston Sports Media. com, if anyone wants to check it out, about how Borges is claiming now that he's consultant to the Stars.
Yeah.
And that before Drew Bledsoe went in to talk to Bill Belichick about his future career at the Patriots, he first called Ron Borges for some advice. So I thought that was pretty interesting, if you want to check that
well,
out.
Well, you know what's funny about that? Ray Ventrone did the same thing with me,
yeah.
And now he just disappeared. So that can go both ways.
Well, so did Bledsoe, right?
Right. Yeah. So maybe they ought to stop doing that.
Yeah, but maybe Felger will be here later. Maybe we can talk to him about that.
Yeah.
Because that happened on Mike's show. And, you know, maybe we can pick it up from where it left off. So, you know, while you're listening to us, maybe you want to check out BostonSportsMedia.com, get up to date with what I'm talking about, so that if Mike comes down and we're talking about you know where what I'm referring to in this whole thing. So I just thought that was interesting with the whole thing that's going on. Now, I'm sure a lot of people are going to take credit for certain things and not take credit for certain things. There's a lot of mea culpas going around now. As regarding the career of Drew Bledsoe and Tom Brady.
Well, and the thing that, you know, everyone knows Bill Belichick is a great coach, okay? He's a great coach.
But the greatest ever.
Maybe the greatest ever. You can make an argument for it. But a lot of the Brady thing, it was lucky. You know what I mean? If you do that like what the Cowboys are doing, I that's probably not going to work out the same way. If you do what the Patriots did, that works out once every 20 times. And then to get a guy as good as Tom Brady has become,
right.
It's just that's a storybook type of thing that doesn't happen often. So no matter who did what or whatever, he made the right choice, but I think even he would admit after he retired, you know, but he really lucked out.
No one knew he was going to be this good.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Rabine thought he was going to be good and good enough to pick him in the sixth round,
mm-hmm.
So they did. Now, once he was on the team, he climbed the ladder pretty quick.
Right.
He went from number four to number two pretty quick. So he had to be doing something right.
But when they made that move, I don't think they were expecting to be in the Super Bowl a couple months later.
Know, and the question is, if the Patriots had kind of floated along that year kind of at 8-8, you know, or 9-7, would they have ever made the move? I don't know. So it's hindsight is always 20/20. But, you know, we're glad they did,
out.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, it just worked out. So what else, Tom? What anything else going on?
Not much.
No?
Yeah, you know, just waiting for the game now.
Look at the newspaper that we're finishing the early pages today.
Yep.
Anything? What's the feature this week?
There's a Junior Seau feature, and we actually turned my Matt Cassel story into kind of a mini feature.
Okay.
Because we needed an extra page.
All right.
And you know me, I write like 1,500 words, and I got to chop it in half.
All right.
But it was pretty interesting because it was all about the preparation of a backup quarterback, how Matt goes about, and it's, you know, Bill answered my question. He pretty much goes about the exact same way that Brady does. It's just that he runs scout team and Brady takes more snaps, but as far as film work and everything, you know, they prepare the same, and they practice in practice putting Matt in, like, say, okay, get in right now, like, because that's what he would have to do in a game, and they did that in a preseason game against Washington where, you know, everybody got, what's going on? Castle's in there. Remember when they threw Castle in there?
Right.
So they actually practice those situations just to give them some kind of preparation for it.
Cool. And then the Seau, who's doing the Seau feature?
I believe that's Paul.
Oh, Paul.
Yes.
Paul's doing the...
He had a nice sit-down with him.
Did he?
Yes. It was yesterday, I believe.
Today, Junior!
You could see the rest of the media was waiting to pounce, but Paul and Junior had a nice sit-down, so that should be an interesting story.
Okay, good. And yesterday's Herald, or actually this morning's Herald, I should say, John Tomasi apparently had a sit-down with Jonathan Kraft.
Yeah. How did he get those?
I don't know. When did that happen?
I don't know. You know, I saw today Mike Reese with Bill Belichick, and people are sitting down with Jonathan Kraft. You know, I'm trying to get Corey Mays, for Christ's sakes.
Thank you.
So, some interesting stuff from Jonathan Kraft and his involvement in the team. And, you know, he often doesn't get a lot of the credit for some of the things that happen around here. You know, his dad is the guy who should get all the credit because if it wasn't for him, you know.
But now, has Jonathan kind of taken over that role? Is where he
a lot of the day to day stuff? It's Jonathan.
Yeah,
you know, it really is. You know, the direction, not of the team on the field, of course, nothing to do with that, but the business side of it, absolutely. So some good stuff. Harold trying to compete.
Yeah. They've had some this year. I think from last year to this year, they've had a lot more, like, not just breaking, but decent stories this year than because I've only been here 2 years, so I can only.
Well, I give them credit because they've had decent stories and some breaking news.
Right.
Without the access that the Globe doesn't
right.
always get.
So they've done a good job this year, I think.
Yeah. So, interesting.
I know, right. I know it's not Bill's favorite paper, but.
webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. Have you changed your thinking about this game coming up Monday night at all? And anything that you've seen or read to make you, you know, either go more strongly in the Patriots side or less?
I really think that the Vikings have a good chance of winning this game. I think Seymour's not going to play because, and I know the Patriots don't do this, but you're looking down the road. You got the Colts and the Jets coming up. You got some big divisional and conference games, and if he's only 75%, you don't want to risk further injury.
Well, let me just correct what you say, and this is just my opinion. We know the Patriots don't do this. They'll never say they do this, but they do it. They look ahead,
right.
and guys have sat out when I think if it was the Super Bowl, they'd be in there. Or if it was the final game of the season with a bye on the line, they'd be in there.
And Seymour would be in there if it
right.
was that type
right.
of game
but
this week.
If he doesn't play this week, it's because exactly what you're talking about. The Colts are coming up. There's still the Jets still have a
right.
chance. You know, there's some more important in conference games coming up than this one on Monday night.
Right. You never want to throw a game away, but if you lose to the Vikings and come back and beat the Colts and the Jets, that's good for you. You know, that's a good deal because you're not gonna win every game anyway.
Right. And the flip side of that is even if you beat Minnesota and Seymour hurts his arm worse and you can't use
right.
it for the Colts, that's worse.
Right.
You know, so you know, they'll never admit to that. Ever admit to that. But I think that's the case. That's my opinion.
So I think it's going to be a real tough one. I mean, you know, if it's close late, Brady usually pulls them out. So, but if they get behind early, I think they could be in a lot of trouble
yeah.
playing that team.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I was thinking last night, you know, of covers. I kind of sometimes, well, what if something happened? What kind of cover would we do? You know, based on they're playing the Vikings and
right.
Minnesota and something like that. For some reason, it popped in my head that Brady's going to lead them on one of those last-minute wins, and the headline would be Calm Brady.
I don't get it.
C-A-L-M Brady. Calm Brady. You know, with a picture of him in the game, you know.
Oh, my God!
It's not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be. Humor, you know.
Is it supposed to mean anything? Or like,
instead of Tom Brady, Calm Brady.
Oh, I see what you're. I was trying to associate it with the Vikings. I thought you were associating it with Minnesota.
Well, no, but I was thinking of those things like Vikings, Minnesota, you know, Norsemen, whatever, you know. But then for some reason in my head popped in this scenario: Brady's going to win this game last minute once again.
I'm going to say Andy won't love it.
And the headlines: Calm Brady.
Well, when Andy comes down, we'll see what he thinks of it.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, we've done this before. Maybe we can do it now. Give us two headlines. One if the Patriots win, one if the Patriots lose.
I was sick of it because it sucked.
What would be the headline for Patriots Football Weekly? So,
all right.
You know, if people want to write in, webradio@patriots.com. It's email address, webradio@patriots.com. The winner will get a tour by Gary. Gary Gardecki
okay.
will take you around the stadium whenever
hell
you want.
Hell no.
Okay. What's the matter, Tom?
These stupid headphones. People don't turn them off and the battery goes out.
Well, that's the problem with battery-operated headphones.
Tom, that's your seat.
What did he say?
He said, that's your seat.
I always turn mine off.
Somebody must have come in and turned them on. Or you know what could have happened? Somebody was sitting somewhere else, theirs turned off, switched with you without you knowing it. That could be.
All right, I'm back.
He's back. All right. We have this. By the way, we've got these beautiful Quiet Comfort 3 headphones by Bose, which were supplied.
Apparently really quiet.
Yeah. No, but they're very comfortable. Wouldn't you say they're very comfortable?
These are the best headphones I've ever used in my life by
yeah.
far.
Yeah, so, and now that you've got a video iPod, you might think of
but
getting
I don't
a pair.
Have the money to, well, what do these run? They were pretty
about
pretty
$300
steep.
Bucks
yeah,
or
well,
something like that.
I'm not going to pay for headphones when I couldn't afford the iPod. If James wants to send me the headphones, I'll take them.
By the way, I have a list for James.
Okay.
No, I'm only kidding. All right, let's
go. We haven't heard from him in a while. He didn't get a...
Maybe he got...
They didn't find him, did they?
Yeah, that's supposed to be for you, not for, you know, radio shows. Although, you know, how much publicity do we give Apple on this show?
Yeah, quite a bit. And when I meant find him, I didn't mean the store. I meant the other people looking for him.
Oh.
Did your lock come in last week?
I didn't have a lock last week.
You have a college football lock?
This week I do.
Who is it? Ohio State over Michigan?
No, that's not for 3 weeks.
Oh, okay. What's a good college game this week?
Buffalo? Florida's playing Georgia. Trying to think of who's
by the playing. Way, I was talking to Vernon Crawford, former Patriot, who went to Florida State, talking to him Tuesday night. And I said, what's going on with the Florida teams? You know, there's no reason why they should have the record they have, especially Miami with the talent they have, because it's all about the quarterbacks.
Yeah, they can't get a quarterback.
They can't get quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I don't know if, I mean, they have to be able to recruit. I don't know what the problem is. Are they getting the wrong people? Everybody wants to go to those schools.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just, if they're making the wrong decisions, I mean, you know, like say like, I saw Matt Castle was talking about Brad Johnson because they were similar. They didn't play in college, and he said there's a lot of guys in college who are on the bench who can play. So maybe they got guys who actually can play, but they're starting the wrong guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, that's been the problem for the last 4 or 5 years with those schools. They have no quarterback play.
Okay. All right, let's get to some emails at webradio@patriots.com because you never know when Felger's going to come in and usurp the studio for one of his interviews, right?
Who do we got today? Troy Brown again?
Oh, probably. It's usually Troy and Rosie Colt. Well, who's the other guy?
Matt Light.
So Troy, what? And Rosie. Troy had, what, 2 or 3 catches last game?
He had 2. So I told you he wasn't going to break it to Indianapolis. Also, all the fans, don't worry. You'll be here when he does it.
Okay. All right, let's get to some emails. Webradio@patriots.com. This one comes from Nick.
And lo and behold, here comes Fred.
Nick from San Diego, not South Dakota. Who said he was from South Dakota?
Must have been the B team. Yeah.
I've never said. I've always said. He says SD. I always say San Diego. I know that. He says, is SLB, I'm assuming he means strong side linebacker, mm-hmm. usually the left outside linebacker? Well, it depends on where the tight end runs.
Yeah, it's the linebacker who lines up on the tight end side.
Tight end side. Because Rosie has had his most production this season on the left, while Vrabel was in the middle, and Bantakane was lined up behind Seymour. Colvin was the strong side guy in Chicago. So isn't it possible that Rosie and Vrabel switching spots might help his production? You said Bill doesn't move Warren because he doesn't want to mess with Warren's mechanics by moving him to the right end spot. Couldn't it be that Rosie is just better from the left?
All I can say is there must be a reason why Vrabel's on one side and Colvin's on the other. I think Vrabel stops the run better. He's better in coverage. So that's probably a side where that takes place more, and Colvin's supposed to be the pass rusher. He's on the side with Seymour.
Right.
So then you try to get that where you can't double-team Seymour all the time. The problem is that Colvin hasn't had a lot of production so far this season.
Right. He started out like gangbusters,
right.
But he's kind of tapered off there. And I think teams saw film, and they said, oh, we got to do something about that,
mm-hmm.
which means guys like Vrabel and or Bantakane, you know, need to step it up. Well, Vrabel's playing in, you know, well, he's playing on the outside.
He's on the
right?
outside.
It depends.
That outside position needs to step up.
They switch so much because Sale will come in, and that'll put Vrabel on the outside. But then when Sale comes out, Vrabel moves on the inside. It switches up. But my point is the side opposite Colvin, if they're game planning for Seymour and Colvin, needs to come up with some more production.
Right.
You know? You know, and Teddy Bruschi's been active. He's been out there, but you haven't seen him make a lot of plays this year.
You haven't.
You know, not the typical Teddy Bruschi plays we've been used to the last
three
or 4 years.
They're going to have to, I mean, you know, 2 weeks when the Colts come in here, you got to put some pressure. You know, the Steelers and Chargers, they showed you the blueprint of getting that pressure off the edge.
Yep.
And you got to rattle Manning because once he gets in that groove, forget about it.
Well, Bruschi's had some good games against Manning, so we'll see.
Those
maybe that's his breakout game. All right, Nick goes on to say, what is it about Buffalo's defensive line? They don't wreak havoc like this with everybody. It's true. I mean, they are pretty productive, but against the Patriots, they just seem to match up pretty well.
I asked Aaron Schobel about it after the game, if it was anything specific, and he said they just try to use their quickness against the Patriots, but he said they do that with everybody. He said they felt that they were a quick line, and, you know, sometimes the quickness is a mismatch, so I guess he was saying that they're a little too quick for the Patriots.
Yeah. Well, I would just like to send some love to Ellis Hobbs III. He laid some serious lumber on Robert Royal in the first half. He gives up 7 inches and 70 pounds, and he dropped his shoulder on Royal. Nice. Congrats to Jackson, too. Another TD, another step towards what I think will be a great career. And lastly, why is Big Ben Worthless Burger getting pity for his off-the-field activities? The appendix aside, because it is hardly a big deal, I had a friend had it taken out in the mountains of Thailand. The motorcycle accident was completely his fault. I'm tired of ESPN and all the other networks throwing him a pass for sucking badly. He should sit for as long as possible. Batch is playing better than he is.
All right, so if Brady was on that motorcycle and that woman ran the stop sign or the red light, whatever she did, would it have been Brady's fault? So stop being hypocrites. Say he should have wore a helmet. Don't say it was his fault, because it was proven that it wasn't his fault. Some old lady ran into him, and that's what happened. It wasn't his fault. Now, should he have worn a helmet? Yeah, I think anybody who rides a motorcycle should wear a helmet. First of all, I think motorcycles should be outlawed altogether, because I can't stand them. And they're loud, and they drive 100 miles an hour. Then when you see someone lying on the side of the road, it's supposed to be a tragedy. But it wasn't it wasn't his fault. Well, seriously, they're doing wheelies. They're going 100 miles an hour.
I used to ride motorcycles. That was my primary mode of transportation throughout most of college and a few years afterwards. I've ridden from, get the horn ready, I've ridden from Florida to the Cape, you know. So I used to ride a lot of motorcycles. But even then, I realized that it's these idiots like you're talking about that give us a bad name.
It is. And I know that's not everybody. I'm just saying they're... The way some of those people drive with their motorcycles, it's amazing more people don't die.
It's crazy, and they make it bad for all the other riders who, you know, are careful and cautious.
But that, it's been proven that wasn't his fault. I mean, some 90-year-old lady slammed into him.
I mean, he was only going about 30 miles an hour at the time.
So that's why they're saying it's not his fault, because it wasn't. Now, if you want to bring up the helmet issue, that's a whole different issue. I mean, he probably should have been wearing a helmet.
Right.
But the accident still wouldn't have been his fault.
All right. I'm not sure if people are giving him a lot of sympathy. I think a lot of people are kind of, you know, incredulous about all the stuff that's happened to him, you know. But I don't know out of sight of Pittsburgh, do you feel a lot of people feeling really sorry for him?
I think people are more confused. Like, where did this drop off all of a sudden come from? You know what I mean? Like, he had been playing at such a high level, and now he's barely can complete a pass. You put Charlie Batch in there, the offense looks totally different. Like, all of a sudden, Hines Ward is wide open, and so I think it's more a bit of confusion. How has he fallen so far so quickly?
Yeah.
I don't really get a lot of sympathy. I mean, I don't watch ESPN all the time, because I can't stand listening to Sean Salisbury and those guys. I listen more to the NFL Network. So
speaking of that, we got to talk about Michael Irvin later, but never mind. We'll get to that later.
About Tiki Barber?
Yeah. We got to talk about that. We'll get to that.
All right.
All right. All right. Stephen in Edinburgh, Scotland.
Hey, Tom, here comes Fred.
Well, what's that? Born to be Wild on my motorcycle? I'm a little late, Gary. Come on. I tell you, I said to my dad once, I said, you know, this is after I'd been riding a while. He goes, you know, I still, every time I ride, I still am a little scared. He goes, good. The day you're not scared, stop riding. You know, and that's the way you should treat those things.
Now, were you a Harley man?
No.
Okay.
No, I had a Kawasaki and then a Yamaha. You know.
I hate Harleys.
Can't afford the Harleys.
I can't believe somebody would fork down that much money for a motorcycle.
Motorcycles are cool. I mean, they can, you know, I'm not.
Not the people I've seen ride.
No, well, you know, but I mean, there's nothing like it. It really is a cool feeling to be out there.
I don't know if we're the Harley crowd. I've seen those guys, you know, coming through.
Well, what are you looking at? Gary's looking at me like I'm nuts.
No, I have a joke about that.
Well, what is it?
What's the difference between a motorcycle and a vacuum cleaner?
I don't know.
The location of the dirt bag.
Oh, you know, wow. Wow. I hope none of our motorcycle riding listeners are offended. All right.
It's not my joke. I'm just relaying it.
It's a good joke. It is a good joke. All right. Okay. Steve is from Scotland, first-time emailer, listens to the podcast. Rookie kicker Steven Guskowski has not yet needed to make a kick to win a game. What game do you think is the most likely for him to come in and kick a field goal? Do you think it will be against the Vikings? And how confident will you be with him stepping out on the field for the kick? Also, I will be able to watch the Patriots on Monday night on Channel 5 and then the Patriots-Colts game on Sunday night next week on Channel 5. Responding to an email yesterday about the Pats playing in Ireland, they would probably play in London if they came to the U.K. If the Patriots were playing in the U.K. next preseason, would the whole team come over or would Tom stay in the U.S.? No, if they came, the whole team would come.
Except for Tom.
Why wouldn't Tom? Oh, you.
Me.
I thought you meant Tom Brady.
No, Tom Brady will be there. Tom Casale will
Tom
be home.
Tom Casale will be there. Don't worry about it.
You wouldn't go to London?
We'd give him a sedative. He'd be like a baby on the plane.
First of all, if we have to go to China and London in the same year,
that's not going
to happen. Patriot fans should just stop coming to games and protest because
that's
ridiculous.
That's not going to happen.
It won't be next year.
No, it won't. That will not happen. But what's your confidence level right now of Steven Guskowski in a pressure situation?
I think in a dome like that, fine. It's just once the wind's here, I think you have to kick at him first before you get used to him. You know, and I wrote in our matchup things for the Colts, you know, you don't want to say it, but nobody knows this place better than Adam Vinatieri. But it took him a while to get to that. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
He knows the way the winds work here. So I think he's going to miss some kicks here at home simply because he's got to get used to the conditions, which are, I mean, for anyone who's ever been on that field, it's amazing, the swirling winds that go through. So if you were in a dome like Minnesota, I think he'd split the uprights no problem. I would be more concerned at home if it's a windy afternoon because he has yet to face that situation.
Even
yet.
Paul said he would have bought a toupee by now except for the swirling winds at Gillette Stadium.
Man, if he's listening to that, he's going to be raving mad when he gets down here. I'm not even going to say a word.
Matt from Belfast, Ireland. Wow. I just want to say that if you get an international game here in Ireland at Croke Park, that's spelled C-R-O-K-E, Croke Park, you would get 80,000 plus people to watch the game, and 68,000 people from here can tape the game. Also, what are the chances of getting an international game here in Ireland? I don't know.
I think they have hurling matches there.
They drink a lot and then they throw up?
No, it's an excellent Irish sport.
I think people are jumping the gun on here, on this whole thing. I'm with Andy. I think there's going to be some criteria set down because you're affecting local businesses, you're affecting fans, you're affecting the team. When you take, say the Patriots missed the playoffs by one game and it was the game they didn't play at home where they never lose.
Right.
And they lost in Ireland.
Right.
So I don't know how quickly the Broncos and the Patriots are going to be to jump at these chances to leave their home field.
You know, preseason's one thing.
Right.
But regular season, even I might sound a little hypocritical because I'm one that advocates, you know, in order to expand revenues, keep the players happy, you need to expand the borders, but I don't like the idea of regular season games.
No, I don't.
You know,
either.
That aren't in one of the team's stadiums.
Right.
I don't like that. I don't even care if it's in a neutral site in United States. I think, you know, should be an even slate of games home and away.
Yeah, and Andy brought up the point about even like the people who who charge people to park. They have to get like a permit and
stuff.
Well,
there's a lot of
on that kind of money.
Yeah. Even our own pro shop would lose money. Mm-hmm. You know, on game day is a big revenue generator. So, you know, that's the lost revenue.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
That's right. You know, Ken just got back from Las Vegas. Ken was in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so maybe he has some stories. Because I hear when
jury has stories.
When those retail guys get together,
look out!
Oh my goodness, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. You know, because Ken, he can let it loose.
Kenny?
Oh, he can let his hair down. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I don't know if I want to see that.
Let's see. Neil is from England as well. Nottingham.
We ought to just move there.
What's going on? Is this UK day?
It's like Andy said, we're more popular there than we are in the United States.
I wondered if you could give me your thoughts on this, please. Tom Brady has been sacked just 9 times in 6 games so far, which is the joint second lowest in the AFC. I mean, I guess tied for second. That's like an English way of saying tied.
Okay.
However, I think 7 of those have come in 2 games versus the Buffalo.
Bills,
that is
yep.
true. Why is it? You think the Bills have had far more success in flooring Brady than anyone else, and possibly worrying
he's
never at his desk. He's never. Actually, I asked him. He said, "You got to call me on my cell phone." That's what he said. But that doesn't work with this. So, why is it that that happens? Why have they had more success? And do you think future opposition will realize the Bills' success and attempt to copy how Buffalo have achieved this?
It's just a matchup thing.
Yeah,
it's the players they have.
Unless they get Schoble for the
right.
game, they can't duplicate it.
I mean, all players are different. They just, the way they play, for some reason, it affects the Patriots. It's weird. It's really a hard question to answer.
Because, you know, when Paul played, you know, he used to play collegiate baseball for
right.
BU. Some guys would hit the home run on the
really?
First pitch,
I didn't know that.
And other guys would hit the home run on the second pitch. It's just a matchup thing, you know, when he pitched.
Man, is he going to be mad when he gets down here?
Well, you know, I listen upstairs. You guys just rip me the whole show. Anyway. All right. Neil also says, does the O-line have a code word they shout to Brady when a defender beats their block?
Yeah,
yeah,
like, duck.
Watch the F out. Yeah.
No, it happens too quickly.
Actually,
I guess.
I was talking to Pete Brock the other night, Horn, and he was telling me how... He was blocking for Grogan once, and who was he blocking? I forget who it was, but the guy just blew by him. Oh, and he just turned around and just started yelling, you know, Steve, watch out, you know.
Well, he must have been slow back in those days, because I don't think today you have time to turn around, yell, get a reaction. If Dwight Freeney beat you, you sacked in about a half a second.
Yeah.
By the way, they were showing Clemson last night, and they were showing old clips from the fridge. Man, was he impressive.
Yeah.
360-some pounds chasing down a receiver in the open field. Man, that was scary. It's too bad he never kept his... I mean, he was a good player, but it's too bad he never kept that weight under control because
yeah.
his athletic ability
yeah.
was actually frightening.
Thanks, guys. Still loving your show via the podcast. Appreciate your opinions. P.S. Will Fred remember all the hassle you guys give him when pay review time comes around? You got to believe I will remember that, Neil. Absolutely.
Well, there goes that $50 raise.
Craig from Boxborough says, I was just wondering what the NFL standards were for a playing surface. If the dirt between the hashes is so bad, why does the NFL allow stadiums to be used by multiple teams? In Miami, for example, where the Dolphins and the Marlins play, I can't imagine it is easy for a running back or a wide receiver to cut on a baseball diamond. Well, that's a good point.
Well, don't the Patriots own their stadium?
Yeah.
So they can do whatever they want with it.
Well, you know, but there are NFL, you know, criteria, I'm sure. Field has to be 100 yards long and all that, you know,
no
stuff.
Kidding.
But, the league does come down on teams whose field, and they have come down on the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Not just this year, last year, not last year, but a couple years ago with the playoffs, the Patriots had to replace the side and to get rid of the playoffs. But, you know, just so you know, now that all the... There's only one more Revolution game left. By the way.
I heard there could be another one, though.
Well, the Reds are playing on Saturday, Gary, right?
Correct.
In the pouring rain.
The pouring rain, according to the forecast. But is the new sod down already?
Almost completely.
Yeah.
Wow. Because yesterday it was just all dirt.
Right. It's down.
So they're going to have that sod down in time for tomorrow's game.
Well,
and it's 100% chance of rain. So
yeah,
that means all day.
So it'll be messed up.
50-mile-an-hour winds.
So they're going to put this brand-new sod down. It's going to get messed up
yep.
right away. Well, it's just a 160-pound guy, so they don't really do that much.
And potentially 2 games for the Revs.
Yeah.
But if they win.
If they win and New York wins.
No. The Revs have to win outright.
Correct.
And then by 2 goals, they're in. If they only win by 1 goal, they have to go into overtime. right?
And then a shootout if it's tied into that. But if they win and New York beats D.C., we could have a second
game. They would get the second game, right, right. So, all right, but just so you know.
Revolution Minute brought to you by.
But just so you know, the next time you see the Patriots play, which will be the Indianapolis Colts, it's going to be new grass. It's going to be brand new sod. So it'll look better than what it has looked like. That's for sure.
Well, that's good.
No more concerts, no more movies.
Well, it's winter's coming.
It's sounding like, though, they're going to probably go to field turf at some point.
Think so?
Yeah, I think so. Not this year, of course.
Did I hear that, like, 20 or 21 of the stadiums all already have that?
Is that right? Is that what it is now?
Mm-hmm. Well, anybody that used to have artificial turf, I think, all has field
turf.
Yeah,
you don't
now.
See any rugs anymore.
No.
It's all...
Buffalo has it.
Yeah, they have it. I know the Ravens have it. A lot of the teams have it. That's one-third of the two-thirds of the league right now. So it would be cool if they all had the same thing. That would be nice.
Yeah, I think it's time. I know people like playing in the mud and all that kind of stuff, but you know what? Advances are made in life, and you just got to go with them. And
right.
The field turf, everyone seems to like it, players, everyone. So I imagine the time's coming where they're going to make the change.
Yep. Okay, Harry is from Bagram, Afghanistan, or Bagram. I don't know how. Anyway, this is like International
Apparently
Day.
No one from the United States listens to this show.
It's International Day. He says, you guys must have been talking about no tag in school.
Yeah.
He says, no tag allowed in schools and only ties and t-ball is garbage. My son's first year in organized sports, he played flag football and lost every game. The following year, he tried baseball. He went 4-for-4 and scored the game-winning run in the season opener. All those losses did was make that win all the better. Losing is part of life, too. Anyone who sat through Pats games in the dark ages and froze their butt off at losing games in Foxborough will enjoy the current run that much more. More current fans weren't there, expect a Super Bowl victor every year, and that's why there are so many complaints about the current fans. Then he goes on to the next subject. I agree with him, though.
Everything he said there is 100%
right. Yeah, you
got
to have hot to know what cold is, right?
Yep.
You got to have losing to know what, you know, what do you...
The way they're teaching these kids today.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
Hot. You know? Bledsoe will get a little vindication this weekend, and Dallas fans will fall victim to the be careful what you ask for cliche. Roman was going to get crushed.
Irrelevant. Irrelevant.
Irrelevant?
Bledsoe's not going to take him anywhere. People are missing the entire point. It's over for Bledsoe. Forget about him. They have to find out if Romo can play or not. The guy's been there for 4 years. Either he can play or you have to bring in another quarterback. They're not going to the playoffs with Bledsoe. They're going to go 8-8 with him, so who cares? So he's not going to get any vindication because, A, he's never playing again, and, B, the Cowboys need to find a quarterback of the future. If it's not Romo, then they have to draft or trade for somebody. End of story, because Drew Bledsoe wasn't getting the job done, period.
There you go. The sheriff has
spoken. I'm sick of hearing about that. I mean, listen, is it all his fault? No. But at some point, you have to take your team into a new direction. Now, do you want to go 8-8? Great. Then put Drew Bledsoe in. I can't wait to see him go 8-8. That's an exciting season.
Wow. ESPN coverage is poor because they don't need to pamper die-hard football fans we are going to watch anyways. MTV certainly does not cater to musicians. They're trying to get a large audience, not a serious one. They like to pump up players like Roy Williams because he'll lay a few big hits and create highlight footage. He will also blow some coverages and create highlight footage.
Exactly.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think you were here when we were talking about this. The Monday Night Football coverage, terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, they're talking, Emmitt Smith, you know what I
right.
think of him.
Well, it's all...
But they're talking about him on
know.
With Dancing
I
with
know.
The Stars. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? I'm watching a football game. I mean, they're running plays, and they're asking, Tony Kornheiser is asking him about Jerry Springer on Dancing with the Stars. Are you serious? They got like 9 sideline reporters. They're interviewing everybody in the stadium.
Yeah, I know.
Awful.
I know. Make it about football. I have not seen Minnesota play this year. Is there something about their team I should keep my eye on? Also, when watching games on TV, I no longer always watch the quarterback drop back. Either he will throw the ball or get hit. I now often watch one side of the line to watch the battle there unfold. Which side of the line should I watch on offense and defense this Monday?
Well, the left side when Minnesota has the ball for sure, because that's McKinney and Hutchinson versus hopefully Seymour and Wilfork and Rosie Colvin. Now, if Seymour doesn't play, that would be Jarvis Green, but it's still something you want to watch because that's as dominating a side of an offensive line that you can get in the NFL.
Okay. All right, Gary. let's take a break because it's 12:40 and I always do things right on the 40s. And we'll be right back.
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to the first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Clint Dempsey of your New England Revolution. We're headed back to the playoffs for the fifth straight season. Another MLS Cup appearance and our first ever championship is the only goal.
Dempsey!
Saturday, October 28th at 7:30 p.m., we kick off our quest for the cup against Chicago Fire at Gillette Stadium, and we want you there.
New England is revved up for another postseason appearance and a trip back to MLS Cup. Playoff action and soccer passion explodes Saturday, October 28th at Gillette Stadium. Join 2006 Honda Player of the Year Clint Dempsey and the rest of the Revs on the quest for the cup. With tickets starting at just $18, free parking, and free admittance to the interactive soccer theme park soccer celebration, New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun night for the whole family. Don't miss it! Be a part of the playoff passion by calling 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 and get your kicks, get your playoff ticks, and get the Revolution!
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip. And suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots
cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
On a warm summer's eve, on a train bound for nowhere, met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep.
All right. Tom knows when to fold them. I got that on my iPod.
Do you?
Yeah.
Work out to that?
No, I got listening music.
Listening
music. Love Kenny Rogers. Coward of the County, The Gambler. Oh. Love them.
Okay.
That made the iPod.
Okay. Speaking of, knowing when to fold them and when to hold them and all that stuff, John from New Hampshire says, what's up with Tom mentioning his iPod buddy's college lock and then not giving it? How am I supposed to make the mortgage now?
The college lock is Florida. The Florida Gators. Urban Meyer, when he has a week off, at least a week to prepare, his teams win by an average of 25 points. And that's not against, New Mexico State. I'm talking Florida State, Pittsburgh, good teams. Georgia is absolute trash. That game's usually close. The spread's 12, 13 points. It's trying to scare people away. Forget about it. Florida, 30-point win. Easy. Take it to the bank.
$1,000, you missed that putt.
Okay. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio at Patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. If you want to chime in on whatever we've been talking about so far. TG and NJ writes in, what do you think? If Asante's continues to play as well as he has, especially in the Bills game, what are the chances the Patriots will show him the money? Do you think that the current corner position is more valued by the organization than the wideout position? Give it a choice. Who do you take, a Champ Bailey or a Steve Smith? All right, I'm going to pine in first, and then you. I think with what happened with Deion Branch and knowing Belichick's and the fact that they couldn't get Ty Law, that they've kind of lost out on some of these things, I think they will give Asante Samuel a little bit more than we think they would.
Why do I have good-looking girls waving
at
me?
What in the hell is going on?
What's going on over there?
Well, who's over there?
I don't know. There were some good-looking girls waving at me.
Oh.
Tell them I'm single. Lie. What were we talking about?
Asante Samuel. What do you think the chance of the Patriots give him
I
the
think
money?
I do. I think they really want to sign him, but it's hard to keep a corner out of free agency just because of the contracts that have been signed over the last 2 years. For some reason, cornerback contracts have gotten blown out of the water. Lucas and Henry started it a couple years ago in Carolina and Dallas. Henry, I believe, got $12 million. Now, think about what we're talking about here. Anthony Henry is a good, solid NFL corner. By no means is he a shutdown corner. Terrence Newman on the other side is 1,000 times better than him. He got a $12 million signing bonus.
Yeah.
So I just think he's going to go, he's going to test the waters, and if the Patriots want him, they're going to have to put up a lot of money.
They're
not going to get him cheap.
Yeah, no.
They're not going to get a corner cheap, especially now. I mean, you throw in that he was a pretty consistent corner to begin with. Now he's having probably the best year of his career. You throw that all together, and you're looking at teams throwing a lot of money his way.
You know, if you're Asante Samuel's agent, right, even if the Patriots right now said, hey, look, we're going to give you X amount, and it's a good price, the agent's thinking, well, if the Patriots are willing to give me this, other teams are going to give me more. So if they're willing to give me that, even if it's right now before the contract ends, the agent's saying, wow, if the Patriots are so willing to give me this, the market's probably going to give me X percent more.
Right.
And that's the Patriots' fault. They've kind of developed that, perception of them that they're always going to come in a little under the market. So whatever they say now, even if they said, oh, we'll give them $12 million signing bonus, the agent, first thing he thinks is, well, if the Patriots are willing to give me 12, I could probably get 15 from someone else,
So there's going to be two ways that the Patriots can re-sign Samuel. One, if they put the money up that other teams are putting up, or two, if it's just a Teddy Bruschi situation and he just wants to be here. I don't think that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
So if they want him, you're looking between 10 $11-12 million in signing bonus for him.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be that opposed to that if it's a good long-term contract and
I would either. At some point, you got to start. I mean, I know you say, well, they got Seymour, Brady, for, you know, some of the line. But at some point, some of these other guys, you got to sign a couple of them.
I know, and
Samuel's a pretty good, solid player for this team. And if you have the money to spend, and you're not overspending like the Redskins do, if you have it there and you say, well, this isn't going to hurt our team, then I say sign them.
All right, Ron is in Port St. Lucie, Florida, calling in. Ron, how you doing?
Good. It's Port St. Lucie, south of Palm Bay.
South of Palm Bay, okay.
Yeah, and well, no, anyway, Paul, going
Do you know John in Palm Bay?
No, that's why I just brought it up, just keeping the Florida connection alive. But no, going back to Asante, when you have the salary cap, how much is left on the salary cap for this year? I mean, can you try and sign him this year?
You could do it this year.
Mm-hmm. And then you throw that money, which, I mean, if it's just sitting in, if I want to see this get used somehow, and then the money goes for this year, and then it's just to throw numbers out there. Say you got a $25 million contract, you can kind of fluff it up and have it get it this year, and then the following years, you don't have to take the hit to affect the salary cap in the future.
They absolutely could, but the real question is, and this is what the Patriots have to be careful about, you don't just pay a guy because you have the money, because you set precedent. You know, then the next guy that comes around, when you don't have the money, he doesn't care you don't have the money. All he knows is that you gave Asante Samuel $12 million, and he, you know, his agent's telling him he's as good or as valued in the market, so he's going to want it. So it's less about when they have the money as is it just, you know, do they want to, you know, create that type of precedent, paying a guy that much that they value, you know, and how they and compared to how they value him.
Understood. I don't like going overboard just to sign a player either, but I mean, if they feel he's that valuable to the team, and as far as that's one less pick you have to worry about in the draft and that kind of considerations as well. You know?
No, I agree. I mean,
we need the defense, linebackers in the future, and then all of a sudden you're taking a high pick getting DB, you're taking away future linebacker.
Absolutely. How much easier would life be right now if Deion Branch was on this team? You know, it would be one less thing to worry
it would
about.
Be.
You know, so, but again, it just, you know, they pride themselves on being fiscally responsible. So far, it's been worked out for them. So it all comes down to the value that they put on the player. So we'll see. I hope they sign the guy. I really do.
All righty, go Pats.
Okay,
the
John.
The nation will be watching.
All right. Bring some of that warmth up here, John. Man, we need
Ron.
It.
Ron.
Take care, Ron.
What did I say, John?
Right.
Okay. All right.
Let's get back to the important question here. Gary, who are those girls? Do Fred and I have groupies?
I don't know. I think they might be potential interns or something.
Oh, for who?
Yes.
Marketing, I'm guessing.
Jeez.
Maybe I can get a
date. I don't know. You need one?
Do I need an intern?
Yeah. I do.
No.
You need a hot girl intern?
No.
Yes.
No. Nah, that's the last thing these guys need.
No, I mean, come on. We work hard. Get Kyle out of there. Get a hot girl in there for us to at least look at. You know, old broken down.
Let's turn it over. Patriots Football Weekly.
She doesn't
Andy
count.
Hart.
Why not?
Old broken down pugs like me, we need young girls to look at. It's all we got going for us, Fred. That's it.
All right. I'll
I like young girls.
I'll give you a copy of the cheerleader calendar. Richard from Falls Church, Virginia, just wanted to say, nice minor modification to the website. Looks snappy. Have you seen what we did this morning?
I haven't been on the site in weeks. No, I haven't.
There's an endorsement.
No, I haven't seen. Fred, why do I have to go to the site? We provide everything that's on it.
You know, just to keep up with what's going on.
Yeah, I do go to the site sometimes. I haven't been on it this morning, though. I'm sorry.
You know,
did you ever hear of that thing called the newspaper that we put out?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I was busy working on that.
Was checking out the Viking site for this game, and let me give praise to the Patriots. Even if they weren't my favorite team, they definitely have the best website of any of the teams. It's a bit cluttered, but that happens when you put up 10,000 new things a month or whatever your madmen are up to. Good work, PFW. Make being a fan that I appreciate that.
Yep. I'm on the site, Fred. What's new?
check the left-hand column, the media center. Scroll over it.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Do it.
Wow, that's cool.
All right.
Well, the Vikings site is...
Well, actually, I got a call from the Vikings guy yesterday. He wants to talk to us. I guess one of the Vikings writers was on Patriots.com radio yesterday being interviewed, and now they want to do radio.
He was on Patriots.com radio.
Being interviewed, one of the Vikings writers.
By who?
John Rook.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I was thinking it was us.
So now they want to get some tips on creating internet radio.
I think all the sites should do it.
Well, yeah, I thought all they did. Let's see. There is no A-team, says Richard, since not one of you is B.A. Baracus. And I don't think any of you want to be the crazy guy. Keep up the good work. Go Pats. Now, which one of those guys on the A-team were B.A. Baracus?
It's Mr. T. Mr. T. I would say Tom would be B.A.
Okay. All right.
Fred, you would have to be Hannibal.
All right. I don't know.
Who's that idiot? That's who Andy is. What's the...
Murtaugh?
Yeah.
Murdoch?
Murdoch.
That makes Paul face, though. I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't...
I don't want to be the A-team.
So. No, you're the leader.
I don't think you have to worry about that, according to the emailers.
Right. Let's see. Gary Abrams says, if Seymour doesn't play this Monday, I'm sure Jarvis Green will fill in nicely as usual. But does that mean that Marquise Hill will be active? And if so, can he help? What's the outlook on Belichick's quote-unquote project?
Not good.
No, he's never active.
I made a comment on the podcast when Bilo mentioned Marquise Hill. I said, are you telling me Marquise Hill is going up against Bryant McKinney? Because if that's what you're telling me, I'm not even going to bother going to the game. Because that is a mismatch of monumental proportions. He will manhandle Marquise Hill. Now, might he be activated for depth? Yeah, I could see that. But unless another person gets injured, you're not going to see Marquise Hill on the field.
Let's see. Earlier we were asking for people to email in a headline, one if the Patriots win, one if they lose. For this game in Minnesota, and Brian in Colorado has a couple. He says, Groundhog Day. Ex-Gopher comes back to haunt Minnesota. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
All right. Hold up. Ex-Gopher can't break through to see light of day.
I don't get that one.
You got hold up, you know.
So it's the Maroney thing.
It's the Maroney.
I like the first one.
Yeah.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah. All right. How about just go for it?
That's good. That's good. I like that.
You like that?
Go for it.
I don't think most of our readers would understand it, though, because they don't know that Minnesota nickname was the Gophers. I don't know if they'd make that connection. You know?
Well, you would put underneath ex-Minnesota.
Yeah, but he's not a Viking. It was Minnesota University.
How about ex-University of Minnesota running back comes back home to lead Pats to victory? Too worthy.
Write an article on the front page, for crying out
loud. Well, you came up with a stupid slogan. I mean, Jesus. Right. You want to go with Tom Brady, for Christ's sakes. You want to explain something, explain that.
Gary, you don't like Tom Brady either? Tom Brady.
How about if he scores a bunch of touchdowns, go for six?
But again... What does Gopher, other than that they're playing in the state of Minnesota, have to do with the Vikings or the Patriots?
It's Maroney.
I know, but...
If he has a huge game, go for it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's, I don't know if it works for the cover, but it's a pretty good
Okay.
Pretty
well,
good
you
thing.
Guys can use it in your game
okay.
story. Yeah. All right. PJ writes in, I'm going to the Pats-Colts game next week, and I'm super excited. I hate to admit it, I'm going with a Colts fan. Let me preface this question by saying that I have Eagles season tickets. Is it safe for him to wear his Colts jersey to the stadium because it isn't in Philly? I really don't care what happens to him, but he is my ride back home to Philly and into the Philadelphia area, so I need him to stay intact. I must apologize to Belichick for looking ahead, but that's what fans do. I think you're okay in our stadium.
I think you should be put in jail for 20 years if you bother people wearing another team. Now, and I'm saying not if they're not acting like jerks. Like
right.
some people wear the other jersey and they right. come in yelling and screaming.
If you come in like a jerk, you deserve what
right.
you get.
But if you're just wearing a jersey rooting for your team, there should be nothing wrong with that. Listen, not everybody.
You might get some verbal ribbing.
No, a good-natured ribbing is fine. I'm talking about beer thrown on you, things thrown at you. That is totally ridiculous. It's a football game. You know, get a life.
If anything. Anything happens, I'll give you Andy Hart's cell phone number. We'll send him out to the stands to help you out. Headlines. PJ's got some headlines. He said,
"That
if
really
the...
bothers me that some ass."
He says that the Patriots win, one arm bandit. Seymour dominates in Patriots victory.
Well,
Okay.
That's if Seymour dominates.
Right. If the Vikings win, Vikings flash their Johnsons. Brad Johnson's late TD pass to Bethel Johnson gives Vikes a much-needed win.
Well, the list is long but distinguished. Well, so's my Johnson.
How about Vikings have two Johnsons?
I like flash their Johnsons. Yeah. That's good.
That gets me thinking, though. Anyway, P.S., I'm a huge Huskers fan. Tell John Rook not to worry about a national championship because they have to face Nebraska in the Big 12 championship game, and Nebraska will be victorious this time around. So a little college football stuff going on there.
Flash their Johnsons.
That's right.
They won't.
Nebraska will not beat
They'll
Texas.
Just beat, they get outcoached on a neutral field. They had their chance at home and came up short.
Okay. Let's see. Mark is from... Actually, it's Sally and Abby from Halifax, Nova Scotia. I was reading the article in BostonSportsMedia.com and came across the Borges confrontation with Pete Carroll. I've heard of this being referred to several times. However, I do not know exactly what happened. Could you enlighten us on this incident?
We should have knocked the lights out.
You don't have that, do you?
I don't. I might be able to get my hands on it, though, but not today.
Well, I can tell you what happened. It was Pete Carroll press conference. Patriots had just lost, and they played dismally. And
Chris Kenny's a smart kid.
You know, in one of the plays, Ted Johnson was out there. Ted had just signed fairly recently a contract extension or new contract for good money. And he got stiffed arm, and guy scored a touchdown around the end. So... You know, things weren't going right for Pete Carroll, and Borges is sitting in the front row, and he goes, you know, why aren't things going right? Pete's trying to answer him. He goes, you know, what do you do when a $6 million linebacker gets stiff-armed to the ground? And
Chris Kenny's,
you know, and Pete Carroll goes, well, we try to talk to him. And
I think he included Chris Kenny making a play where the ball came loose, and he was celebrating and didn't go after
so
the ball.
So he named a couple things, and so... You know, Pete Carroll's tried to start answering it before, you know, Carroll could really even get an answer out. Borges just yelled out, well, that's bull crap, you know, bleep it out.
I was really hoping you'd say it.
Yeah, and, he just yelled out, it was basically he took over the press conference, Borges just did. Mm-hmm. Of course, it made ESPN that night and everything. Showed a lot of disrespect, I thought, to Pete Carroll.
Well, that's not really his... place to say, you know what I mean? Like, if he wants to rip the coach, he's writing columns.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's
right.
His place.
Right.
It would be like when Michael Moore went to the Oscars and made a political speech there, and I just thought, you know, you make movies. If you want to make a political stance, make a movie about it, which he ended up doing, that stupid movie. And Borges has a column. He has a voice.
Right.
You don't do that at a press conference. A press conference is to ask questions. It's to ask follow-up questions.
Right.
If you want to put him on the spot on something, fine. But you don't
no,
do that.
No, he was
that's
editorializing
that's
right
disrespectful.
There. I thought it was. And
How come I don't? You know, that's funny. Now, he didn't hate Pete Carroll like he hates Belichick, right?
No,
come he does? I never hear him say that to Belichick.
Right.
Because he often tells us when Belichick's not in the room, you know, about how he did this. How come he's not standing up and telling him it's bull?
Right, right. There you go. That's good. Good, Tom. Good. Gary, again, Tom, I have always enjoyed you and what you've added to the show, but shut up about motorcycles. You want them outlawed? You can't lump all bike riders into one bad category just because some ride like an a-hole. Most of us are safe riders and conform to the laws of the road. Please apologize immediately or I'll sick my gang on you. Have a pleasant day.
I'm not going to apologize because one of my best friends died in a motorcycle accident. Head came clear off his shoulders. You know why? Drove like a jerk. So everyone said it was, it's so sad that he's dead. No, it's not. You know, it's sad maybe because he was 20, but he should have ridden with some more respect. Now, if you ride with respect, then God bless you. But too many times I'm on the highway and three motorcycles are zipping by me, going through two cars through the middle lane, like right through them. And
usually on those Japanese bikes, the ones where you're leaning forward. No disrespect to the Orientals, but
disrespect to the Orientals.
I'm not lumping all motorcycle riders. I just think that there's so many dangerous ones on the road that there's no way you can control it. Outlaw them. That's what I say. If I was president, one of the first things I'd do.
Wow. And this is from a guy who just pulls down that lever and he did his duty. Ben from Boxborough, Fred, Paul, Andy, Tom, do you think the performance of Chad Scott and the annual injuries to Randall Gay will run Gay out of town come 2007. Personally, I think he's a good nickel corner, but the injuries lead me to believe that his days may be numbered.
I had him off the roster this year, so now I definitely have him off the roster for next year. I just, when you deal with guys like Belichick and Parcells, you can be kind of bad, but if you're on the field and they can use you in certain situations, you have a better chance of staying than if you have a lot of potential and you get hurt all the time, because they need to see you on the field. I mean, Parcells says it all the time. Belichick's the same way. I think he's used his last life here in New England, and I would be shocked if he was on the team next year.
Second, says Ben, I just watched the show last night after TiVoing it. I guess he means the Patriots Football Weekly show. And I have to say that the host guy, can't think of his name, needs to go.
They're very exciting to watch.
But at least he's got his 30 minutes of fame. It seems like he's trying to take over all of Patriots Football Weekly. Someone needs to tell him to shut up and let you experts speak. I would prefer anyone else, well, almost anyone, not Brian Lowe. Plus, he picked the Vikings. I know they have a chance, but picking against the Pats is unacceptable. I apologize to him 1,000 times.
I apologize but 1,000 times to you.
And for future reference, what's his name? Well, I'm not going to throw him under the bus.
No.
No. But
you make some valid points, though.
He did pick the Vikings, so, man, if we all lose, that's not good for us. So
I don't pick against the Patriots anymore. I'm worse than you now.
Well, you know,
I got that Cincinnati game. That was it for me.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Dan in Fairfax, it's an easy headline. If the Pats lose, Vikings conquer New England. If the Pats win, Patriots foil Viking raid.
I like the first one.
Yeah,
better
the second
one.
If it was in Gillette, that would
yeah.
I could see. But it's the yeah. I'm not sure about that. But good try, Dan. I like the first one. First one's not bad.
Hey, where's Dan Heffernan?
That was him.
Oh, that was Dan Heffernan?
Dan in Fairfax.
Oh, I didn't know that was – you usually say Dan Heffernan.
You're adding a syllable.
Who cares?
Dan cares.
He's not important. He's going to do his night the Christmas thing?
Well, yeah, it's not Christmas yet.
No, but maybe I might do one about him.
Okay.
For retaliation.
All right.
So,
do you have enough ammunition to write it? Do you have enough, material?
Fred read his email last year. It took 8 minutes.
No, I just,
you know enough about Dan to write one about him?
I just make stuff up.
Oh.
Is he married?
I don't. Okay.
Dan, let us know if you're married or if you have a girlfriend so I can get some of that ammunition I need to write the response.
I love you, Johnny Cakes.
Oh,
or that.
Not that
even better.
With that. Yeah. All right, Craig is from South Carolina. Says Brady has almost always played great in domes on artificial turf. I don't think we should play vanilla ball on offense this week. The Vikes run D could be effective against our run game, and I'm not nuts about the prospect of facing second and long and third and long. We have a couple of speedy receivers plus Ben and Falk. I would love to see Brady air it out to help open up the run game. If Brady does go long and we win, the headline could be Brady's bombs sink Vikings. Pats 27-10.
It could be Pats sink Vikings with the whole love boat thing that, you know, that went on recently. That wouldn't be too bad.
That's true. Yeah.
I agree, though. I think they need to open up the offense because you just can't run on this team consistently, I don't think. And according to Bill at his press conference, they're not going to double-team Pat Williams.
Well, I think that I just have this feeling that it's going to be a high-scoring
game. I'm with
you.
I think it is going to be high-scoring.
You know,
I think both teams won't be able to run the ball consistently, and at some point they'll have to go to the air. I actually think the Patriots will open up
throwing
the ball.
Exactly. I'll bet you. I'm guessing that the first play goes to Watson or Dave Thomas.
Mm-hmm. And you got to remember, Childress was the offensive coordinator in Philadelphia, and they throw the ball around quite a bit, too. So,
yeah. Jay from Hanson, great show. I love when you go off on tangents. The crossover the other day with John Rook talking about 10-cent tequila shots and Andy asking him how many Mexican women he had was hysterical. I have to get something off my chest.
They just happen to come from Mexico.
I'm so sick of people feeling bad for Bledsoe. This guy must have been
born
with a golden horseshoe up his butt because the money he's made for a mediocre career is astounding.
Sing it, brother.
People talk about him like he was Johnny Unitas. The guy was an average to below quarterback
who horrible.
Never improved after his third or fourth year in the league. Bottom line, the guy sucks and could always be counted on to make the worst throw at the most inopportune time.
Amen. Was really good in junior high, too.
See, I'm not.
No, it's not that.
I'm when not going to go there.
When he was here for that five to six year period, he was a very good quarterback.
Yeah.
But that was it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, once towards the end of his career here, he in Buffalo and Dallas, he was an average quarterback. That's it.
I'll tell you, you know, he never, amazing arm, you know, there's no doubt about
it's
that.
It's up here, Fred.
Right.
It's up here.
He never had the either pocket awareness or field awareness that Tom Brady had. And I'll give you an example. Even when he was playing pretty well, Patriots got rid of their offensive coordinator, Larry Cannon, and they brought in Ernie Zampezi from the
right.
Cowboys because they thought it was going to be an upgrade. Ernie Zampezi's offense is all about, you know, it's not necessarily short passing. It's moderate to long pass,
it's
but it's timing.
It's timing, deep routes.
It's a lot of timing. It's the ball's in the air before the guy even makes the cut.
That's why Aikman was so good at
it. And Bledsoe wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Bledsoe could not do it. Because if you notice a lot where Bledsoe is you know, successful, it's a guy getting to a spot and actually standing there. It's
and
curls.
He fires it in there.
It's curls.
That's what Elway did.
Yeah, obviously there's timing involved, but it's a guy in a spot. And you know, Bledsoe's arm, he just fires it in there before anyone can make up the ground. But he wasn't good in the Zampezi offense. And you can't say that that offense didn't work when he was with Dallas.
Right.
You know? So it's just Bledsoe never had that field awareness, the anticipation that a guy like Brady has.
And, I mean, it's even like Manning. I mean, you see Manning.
Absolutely.
You see him tuck the ball under when he feels that blind side guy. And so he'll just take a sack and go down.
Right.
Instead of fumbling or throwing the ball away.
No.
You know, people like Marino.
Exactly. Those guys are in a different league. Different league. And you know, the expectations for Bledsoe was that he would be in that league. And he just never really was.
And, you know, when he came here, the franchise was terrible. They hadn't had a quarterback in years. And, yes, he did help jumpstart the franchise. So, for that, I'll give him credit. But I don't want to hear Hall of Fame or any crazy stuff like that when it comes to him. Because if you put him in, Vinny Testaverde's right behind him.
Doug from Blackstone. Tom, you're right about Bledsoe. I remember in my first email to this show, the world was still flat. But I was right about Bledsoe. I said the Patriots would never win a Super Bowl with Drew as their starter. I look at great quarterbacks as firemen. You get all the NFL quarterbacks in a room and yell fire, and 90% are running for the door. The great ones go for the fire extinguisher. It's an internal thing that the great ones have. Keep in mind, I'm a huge Bledsoe fan and think he's a first-class individual. If I had a son, I would be grateful if he turned out to be a man like Drew. This is my last email from Blackstone, and I can go on the record that moving sucks, still shaking my head at all the crap I've kept over the years. Because Doug's moving to Bellingham, I believe.
Moving sucks. It really does.
You've had a move recently, right?
Yeah, it's terrible. We hired movers and got screwed.
Really?
Boy, I'd like to take a pipe to that guy's head.
How did he screw you? Break your plates?
No, he said it was going to be 3 hours. It ended up being 4.5 hours. They took way too long. We got in a shouting match. I said a word I shouldn't have said, that's for sure. Told him to turn the truck back around. I'll be waiting for him, and he never came back. But, man, was I ready to go, douchebag.
So it just took too long.
Well, yeah, no, I ended up paying $200 more than he said I was supposed to.
Oh, there you go.
And I wasn't there. Allison's the one that gave him the money because he wouldn't have gotten a freaking cent from me, I can tell you that.
Plumber came in last night to my house. All he did was stick that thing down the toilet at $207. I tell you.
You don't know how
you
to
buy one of them. Probably cheaper.
You don't know how to use a plunger.
One, but it wasn't long enough. It was it wasn't the professional grade model.
Now, I imagine this toilet problem.
Plunger didn't do it.
This toilet problem was brought on by you.
No.
Andy was there.
Yeah, it happened when I wasn't even home.
Oh,
so,
all right.
You know?
Andy snuck in.
Yeah, probably. Richard, Northern Ireland. Tom is definitely B.A. What does that mean?
Oh, B.A. Baracus.
Oh, he doesn't want to fly to other countries to see games, so like Fred said earlier, just slip a tranquilizer into his milk and you'll be all set.
Oh, how about you start serving booze on those trips? I'll just get cocked.
Oh, no. That can't happen.
Well, I guess I'll be home.
We had a stewardess fired one year
because
she was giving out nips in the back.
You told me.
Of alcohol.
I got that part. I'm sure it would have been a much bigger story if it wasn't.
This is Michael from Port St. Lucie, Florida. So we have two.
For England, Florida, we're all over the place.
And he has two questions. What do you think of Maroney so far? What do you think about Watson's play? They need to get him some touchdowns, I think. I'll be at the Miami game on 12-10. I'm 15 and seeing if there is any way, if you are there, and we can meet. Go, Tom. Fred, you're the boss. Good show. Pat's 27. Opera singers, 14. You know, you get that because
yeah.
You got them. Yeah.
I
like it. We have so Mike's 15. Tom will meet you in Miami. We'll set that up.
Well, it certainly won't be Paul. He'll be throwing up.
Well, Paul has to get to the stadium at 5 in the morning.
Well, he'll be throwing up then. Show. You know that Miami trip. He goes to Hooters. He sucks back about 15 beers. You know, not Mike, not me. I'm a professional. I got work to do.
All right. What do you think of Maroney so far, Tom?
I've heard you
backed off your statement that he's going to be a superstar.
No, I didn't back. See, Andy Hart.
I heard you yelling out the other day.
Andy Hart. I still think he's going to be a superstar. He's been a bit inconsistent, but I think the running game as a whole has been a bit inconsistent. I think next year Maroney is going to be the man by far. The thing I noticed about Maroney was that kickoff return where he kind of got tired there at the end. That kind of shows you the difference between college and pros. Pros is it's such a harder season to go through. I bet you if he was at Minnesota and he had that kickoff return, he'd have still been cruising. But you just go through a tougher training camp, and rookie running backs kind of wear down as the season goes on. It happened to LaDainian Tomlinson. It happened to a lot of people. And I expect the same will happen to Maroney. But next year, I bet you he comes back 15 pounds heavier, faster,
Maroney,
quicker.
15 pounds heavier?
15 pounds heavier and faster.
Well, I don't want him to be 15 pounds
heavier. Well, Fred, you're not getting the point. That's what they do. That's what LT did.
But I think he's big enough.
But they redistribute their weight.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they go from a college program. He's only been in the Patriots program for 1 year. So he'll gain, like, 10 to 15 pounds, but he'll actually look thinner because it'll be redistributed.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Plus, he'll be faster because he'll be in the program a lot longer. And I just think next year he'll be a special player. This year I think he leads the team in rushing. Is that a bad rookie year? He lead the team in rushing?
No, not at all. What about Watson?
I think he's having a good year.
Well, he started. He had a good game against the Bills, and that's a good sign.
Yeah.
But as the overall receiving game goes, so does Watson. I mean, he's not the only guy out there. So
he's the main guy. He's the main weapon.
Yeah.
You know, with Watson, they're going to need him against Indianapolis. They're going to need him against Chicago, against Minnesota. These type of games, the big games, that he needs to make some big plays because that's what they're paying him for.
All right, Richard in Falls Church, Virginia again. He says, headlines, Patriots win again. The Vikings shocked the world and beat the greatest team of all time if they lose. Okay.
Is that you?
No, this is Richard. Just because we get no love when we win, but anyone who beats us seems it becomes a big deal. Okay. As to Asante, I want him on the team, but not to the detriment of the rest of the team. What is a better value for the money, a cornerback Pro Bowl or a safety Pro Bowl? How about linebackers? I have been thinking this is what the Eagles do. Wideouts are not good value for the money. They cost as much or more than a running back, but touch the ball 20 times fewer in a game. Offensive linemen, other than ESPN lauded left tackles, don't make as much money, so you can afford an awesome line and mediocre receivers for far less than a mediocre line and awesome skill position players.
Well, what's this guy's name?
Richard.
Well, Richard, the reason why people care when they beat the Patriots is because they're good. There was a time when people cared about beating the Raiders and the Dolphins, but now nobody cares because they stink. So if you don't want people to care about beating the Patriots, then we can go back to 1985, they actually went to the Super Bowl that year, but you know what I'm talking about, back when they stunk. That's why it's such a big deal, because they have, they have been the high mark of the NFL over the last 5 years, and when you beat them, that's something that your franchise can build on. So that's actually a good thing, in my opinion. I kind of stopped listening to you after that, so I don't really have a reply.
Okay. Dan in Fairfax, I've been to 7 different visiting stadiums to see the Patriots play, and I wore Patriots gear each time. I have never had more than good-natured ribbing at any of the trips, but I have never been drunk or obnoxious about it either. If you don't antagonize the home fans or make a spectacle out of yourself, you should be fine. So, there you go. Except in Green Bay, I hear if you go to Green Bay, they'll
really
kick your butts.
Green Bay doesn't seem like that.
Green Bay, they're all dun, 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 dun. Go, Pack, go.
It's all good, clean fun.
Mike Felger's here.
It's all
good
doing, Mike?
Fun. Hey, hanging in there, you?
No, we're doing good. We're doing good. Got some press today I wanted to talk to you about.
You got some press?
No, you did.
Uh-oh.
Regarding a show you did recently with Ron Borges.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, on that Boston Sports Media site, right?
Yeah, now tell me about...
Love that.
I mean, what...
890 ESPN.
So is it Borges's... Is he saying that prior...
Borges is great. It was a great time to have Borges on.
Prior to talking to Bill Belichick, he's now the consultant to the Stars.
Yes.
And that people call him up and ask him for advice going
Bingo.
In. He's like a life coach.
Said Bledsoe called him that morning when he was called into the office. What should he say to Belichick? How should he ask him questions? What should he ask him?
You were horrible.
Borges advised him that when he tells you that the job is still open, that you ask him, how long is it open for? How long do I have?
Right.
1 week, 2 weeks, 10 weeks? And as Borges tells it, yeah. Bledsoe asked him that exact question, and Belichick responded by saying, as long as you need. 6 days later, Belichick brought him back in and said, all right, never mind. Just, I'm going with Tom.
Huh.
I was really good in junior high, too.
So, I mean, Bledsoe obviously still carried this with him. I mean, he brings it up the other day in that press conference in Dallas. This is different because I haven't been lied to. This is different. There's nothing untruthful about this one. I didn't like the other one because I felt I was dealt with untruthfully. I mean, so he's still obviously carrying this with him.
Right,
I never
said
that.
But, I mean,
and even if it was a lie, it was a 6 day lie. Because then Belichick brought him back in and said, all right, never mind. Listen, this is what we're doing. We're going with Tom.
Yeah, I mean.
And maybe he didn't, you know, maybe it was open for a week. Maybe Bill was thinking about it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, maybe, you know, he said that. Bledsoe gets back on the field and he's looking at the two in a different perspective now because he's seen Brady play for a while now and he's looking at him on the practice field and said, you know what?
Right.
Brady's the guy.
Right.
Well, I think
so
Tom's,
what do you do then?
Tom's level and his standard is pretty.
Well,
pretty
and I should defend Borges for a second. I think Cowboy fans might make the argument that Bledsoe is actually stupid enough to ask Borges his opinion on what he should do with his career.
Well, but so. I guess the bigger issue is, and we all know that Ron doesn't like Bill Belichick. You did get him to admit that he thinks he's a great coach.
Yes.
Which I think, you know, that's...
I felt good about that.
That's kind of neat. But do you think that his dislike of Belichick stems from that, or is it other things?
I think it's part of it.
Yeah?
I think it's part of it.
Because I know that Borges was... He talked to Mac Bledsoe a lot.
Yeah.
I remember when Brady was going through a lot of problems, Mac Bledsoe kind of... gave advice, I don't know if it was through Borges, apparently maybe it was, that, hey, you know, Drew, just be yourself.
I mean,
calm
Tom.
Down. Yeah. No, Drew. This is Mac Bledsoe, the advice that he gave in a Borges column to his son.
I see.
Drew, just have fun.
Right.
And he had a couple games after that where he kind of bounced back.
But this is Ron's thing. Some people say it's shtick to get attention or that he's, you know, intentionally doing this. That's so not him.
No, I think he genuinely doesn't like Bill Belichick.
He is someone who is a man of strong convictions. Now, I think a lot of his convictions are wrong, but he doesn't take the conviction just to rile people up. He really feels that way. He's also someone who's intensely loyal and a battler.
Yeah.
He's a Vietnam veteran. I mean, a tough guy, and once he's in your foxhole, he ain't getting out.
Right,
so
right.
I think Ron treats a lot of things and takes it to the nth degree because that's just his makeup.
Yeah, it's...
And it's for the better and the worse. I mean, you get... I think that cuts both ways.
And by the way, I think Belichick is the same type of person.
Probably so.
Once he gets in your foxhole, he's intense. But once you cross him, he can hold a grudge with the best of them.
So I think that's what you see
so ridiculous.
Between those two guys.
Yeah.
I mean, and the thing that sort of bothers me, I mean, about Ron is that he feels like he's an equal. And, you know, good for him to feel that way. He has confidence in himself and he right. thinks he's, you know, important. But where I look at it as sports writers are the gum on the bottom of your shoe. We are the lowest of the low. We are below real estate agents and lawyers. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, we are the dregs.
What are you, school paper?
So, I mean, to say, I have this battle with Belichick. Who are you? Who cares?
Right, right.
You know?
Even what he did with Pete Carroll, remember that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Who do you think you are?
That was uncalled for.
Yeah. Sure.
We're not below car salesmen, are we?
What's that?
We're not below car salesmen, are we?
We're right there.
Right there with car salesmen?
Yeah.
I mean, that's bad.
I mean, is there anything lower than a real estate agent? Can you trust it? Can you? I mean.
No.
What about a mechanic? They take you for everything you're worth.
Well, you see, that's why you got to buy cars with warranties. I mean, they still do, but.
I think we're slightly above those people. I'm going to make a stance here. I'm going to defend the sports writers. We're slightly above car salesmen.
I think anyone that works on commission. Let's just say anyone that works on commission. You know, we're down there.
But you're right, though, to say that, you know, well, we got this battle going on. I mean,
who are you?
Belichick's Belichick. Right. You know, we didn't make it that way. That's how the world is.
Tabucky's Tabucky.
My phones were banged out this week with Drew Bledsoe calls.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, it's,
so I mean,
it's huge.
I hear some people say, you know, do we have to still talk about this? Are we going back here? But it's a topic that I think gets people passionate. People are still into it. I think for good reason. I think it's an interesting, you know, storyline.
And the two main parties used to be here, Parcells and Bledsoe used to, you know, were both in New England, so it does have a tie here.
And they're so hugely important to where we are right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm going to stick by it right now. I think when all is said and done, Bledsoe should go in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
I agree with you.
For the contributions that he made to this organization.
11 should be retired. Right. I said
but,
that yesterday.
But even toward the end of his career, before Brady even really was a factor, there was a faction of fans who were anti-Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah, I mean...
They were pro Michael Bishop.
I mean, I was in there.
They were pro anyone.
They were pro anyone.
Anyone.
I felt that when it used to be the conversation was the best quarterbacks in the league, Favre, Aikman, Steve Young, Drew Bledsoe. He entered that pantheon, and that's when I said, whoa, you know, this guy's overrated. I think for the last, you know, maybe 5 to 7 years, no one's considered him a great quarterback. So he's no longer overrated, but I thought that when he was mentioned in the same breath as those other quarterbacks, that's when I said, this guy is not that. Come on.
So there's a lot of I told you so going on among that group of people, you know, who were always fighting the Bledsoe supporters back then.
Right.
You know,
I love it. I mean, it's what sports arguments are all about.
No, and it's fascinating. But I still say down there, that problem is Terrell Owens and Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones. Well, they've had 6 years to develop a young quarterback. Now, hey, maybe Romo's it, but they haven't drafted one. They haven't done anything down there. Everything Jerry Jones does is wrong. Maybe he's a good owner, but he's not a good president, and he's not a good general manager. And it's like I say all the time, if he sent his resume to 31 other teams for a general manager position, would he get it?
No.
No. End of story.
I mean, it's pathetic. The owner makes himself general manager.
Yeah.
Is on the sideline. I mean, it's just, it's sad.
Yeah.
It's like, dude.
Yeah.
His two sons run everything with the entire team.
Why did you all of a sudden get into a tin can?
All of a sudden it's Darth Vader.
It's this crappy, but...
what's going on?
It's mini Darth
Vader.
That's
pretty funny, Gary. We'll
Luke,
see how
I
goes.
Am your father. The sheriff.
What is that? It's annoying.
I'm just recording on something.
Oh, okay. Oh, terrible. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Craig is on the phone. Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
We're doing really good. What's up?
I just have a quick question for you. You guys might have covered this already, but my understanding is that Daniel Graham might not be playing, and I sent an email earlier about, you know, us potentially having difficulty running the ball, and any Patriot fan worth his salt knows that Graham is probably one of the best blocking tight ends in football. If he's not going to be playing this week, how do you expect Belichick to compensate?
Well, I think, you know, I've said before that I agree. I think this is going to be a tough game for the Patriots. I think both teams... If their plan is to primarily run, we'll have trouble. That's why I think both teams are going to be passing the ball a lot this game. You know, a lot of people think this is going to be a tight, low-scoring game. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
And just to jump in, I think, you know, Brady's 9-0 dome record is not a coincidence. There's something about, we all know he doesn't have the strongest arm in the world, and I think when you get him in a spot where there's no wind and no rain and no crap coming out of the sky and he can grip the ball, he's a much better quarterback.
The guy, you know, and I think you're absolutely right, and I think it goes into the whole type of player he is. You look at the problems he's had with the wide receivers. Well, Tom Brady didn't just all of a sudden forget how to play quarterback. Things aren't perfect. You know, not that they have to be perfect, but things aren't, you know, the timing just isn't there.
Right.
And I think the more that you can control the environment for a guy like Brady, the better he's going to be. You know, it's just like if you're fast, you know, on grass, you're going to be faster on turf.
I mean, if you look at some of his games inside, they've been stellar. I mean, he's had some huge games inside.
So I really think that, you know, not to take anything away from the Vikings or the Patriots defense, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's a great test.
Yeah.
I think it really is.
Yeah.
Career passer rating in the domes is like 104, and everybody always pregame, you know, the hype, they're always talking about, ooh, how noisy the stadium is. You know, that kind of ties right in with what you said before, Fred, about Brady being calm. I mean, it's like he blocks everything else out.
I think on balance that he does. I think there's one high-profile example where he didn't, and it's sort of stuck with me. And I think last year in Denver in that playoff game, we all saw it. What was like the third snap of the game? He's getting in John Lynch's face and sort of making gestures at the crowd. It was weird. I thought Brady in that game was too amped to the point where I think it hurt his performance. I've never been able to say that about him before, and I don't think since.
Well, I don't want to get into the whole body language thing, but we saw it a little this year, and I think a lot of the success that Brady had has now raised even his own expectations, and he's not the best winner. Let's face it. He's
loser,
not,
you mean?
He's not the best loser.
Yeah.
He's not the best loser.
Terrible. All those Michigan guys. Terrible losers.
I don't know about
it's a Michigan thing.
That comes from coaching.
Trust me, it's a Michigan thing.
Is it?
It comes from Lloyd Carr.
Absolutely. Never their fault. They never lost. The best guy never won. You know, if they lose, it's the best guy didn't win.
Okay. Well, Craig, thanks for calling. And do we need to take a break, Gary? Is there anyone here? Oh, okay. We were taken earlier for PFW. People sent in their headlines. If the Patriots win, what should the headline be? And if they lose... So we have people writing in headlines here.
Well, to me, the story, I don't know how you put it in a headline, but I think it's just one of those tests. I think their depth is going to be tested this week. I don't know who's playing and who's not, but 10 guys questionable, you got to figure half of those guys are out.
I don't know if you talked about this when I was out, but I don't think Seymour's playing. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, heard that it's a long shot. They've tried, and I don't know, maybe this week's been a dog and pony show to show the Vikings that he's out there practicing and might play. No, but I don't think that he plays. So it, you know, goes back to
this is a bad week not to have him with McKinney and Hutchinson over there.
No question. So it's a depth game. Do they have the depth?
It is. James from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina says, if the Patriots win and Brady has a big game, Brady iceberg sinks Vikings boat. And if the Pats lose and the Vikings defense keeps the Patriots offense in check, then Brady goes cold against marauding Vikings. It's a nice try.
Fred likes short headlines, real short ones.
Iffy, you know. Let's see. What TG and NJ Tom, I agree with your Maroney prognostication for next year, but what about the O-line that he'll be running behind?
What's your prognostication?
I was talking about rookie running backs, including LaDainian Tomlinson, who kind of hit that wall because it's a 16-game season against tougher competition.
Mm-hmm.
And I said next year I think he'll have gained 10 pounds, but his body will be redistributed where he won't look like he gained 10 pounds. He'll be faster, a little bit stronger, and that next year he'll be ready to take over that role as the main back, where this year I think he needs Dylan there too to kind of help him with those carries. Because if you give a rookie running back, like you saw with Cadillac Williams last year, who tries to carry the load himself, that last month or so of the season, they kind of just tail off.
Tomlinson didn't have a good rookie year?
Not the last month.
Really?
He just tailed right off. Mm. That's just part of being in the NFL and getting all the carries. It's different running against the Steelers than it is running against Baylor.
Okay. Jay from Hanson, Mike, has a question for you about your signal strength. When are you going to strengthen it? Because he's sick of listening to the other station that is still talking about the Red Sox.
Yeah. You know, signal is what it is.
You can't
do it because I got to be honest.
You can't get like an intern on the roof with an antenna.
Put Kevin Winter up
I'm
there.
I'm not just saying this because you're here. I think your show is way better.
You are saying it because I'm here.
No, I'm not. You know, me and you go at it.
No, it's because Tom's on your show.
And wants to be on it more.
That's the best part of the show. There's no question about that. But
if you're a football fan, my show is better. I'm going to admit that.
Right, and I'm a football fan. But so is there's nothing that you guys can do really about that?
But have
signal?
We have
applied and have been approved for a nighttime upgrade. What happens is, and this is why coming up here, I think it's this week, isn't it? The sunlight goes down, isn't it? Daylight savings time this weekend.
Yeah, Saturday.
That's Saturday night.
It's death for my show because it starts getting dark at 5-6 o'clock. When the sun goes down, we go from 25,000 to about 3,700, and it just
why
because it's, do you want to get into another four downs with Felger sort of FCC question? I can give you the answer. The short answer is this, is that it's an antiquated law meant to protect WBZ in Boston, 1030.
Clear channel stations.
880 in New York. There's about a dozen 50,000 watt clear channel stations that at nighttime are the only stations allowed to power up.
Gotcha.
And broadcast at that amplitude, because it was put in place during World War II in case of emergency. They wanted people to be able to tune into only one or two stations, knowing that's the emergency station and everyone can get it. So everyone else has to power down so BZ can broadcast over all of New England and everyone can
crap.
Get it.
Listen.
In this day and age, it's ridiculous.
I remember a time when women couldn't vote. You know what
right,
I mean?
Like, exactly.
You don't change the laws around here.
Right, exactly. Yes. Another question for Mike. Jeez. Doug from Blackstone. Mr. Felger, I know you're not one to candy coat your answers, so here is my question. What is your opinion of Drew Bledsoe as a quarterback?
Oh, mediocrity. I mean, I did it yesterday. The quarterbacks in the league, I'd take over him. I think Bledsoe was like 25. I mean, there's even some backups there that I would take. And it's sort of couched a little bit. I mean, I don't think that Vince Young is going to win more games than Drew Bledsoe this year, but on balance, I'd rather have him be on my team. I mean, I rank him right now 25th. Back when he was considered with Favre, Aikman, and Young, I thought he was top 10, but not top 5 ever.
There's at least 20 you can name that you would want more than Bledsoe.
Now, if Drew Bledsoe was a willing participant, I wouldn't mind having him as my backup.
Now, I don't think that's his role. I don't think that's his role.
I think he'd be a very good backup.
Yeah,
absolutely. But I don't think mentally that's what he wants to do.
It's not what he does. And when Ron was on yesterday, we talked about Jim Plunkett, someone I know. He knows and followed and covered. Plunkett was willing to do that, to go somewhere and earn his way back on a team and earn his way back on the field. That just isn't Drew's makeup.
Nope.
I think he's been the man since he was 5 years old and doesn't know anything other than being the man.
Yeah. Let's see. Jason writes in, quick question. I've heard a few times about Maroney looking tired in that Buffalo game. Do you think the Patriots are using Corey Dillon enough to keep Maroney fresh for a playoff run? They have been about 50-50 on carries this year. Is this a good pace to keep him fresh during crunch time?
I think they've done it perfectly.
I got no complaints about that. I think it's been, like Felger said, perfect.
Yeah. So, no, I think this is the absolute, and I've said this before, this is the absolute best situation for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
For both
guys, this is
the absolute best situation.
Let's give Corey Dillon credit. What makes it work is his attitude. Some people were worried that you take away the ball from Corey and you know, that he's going to do what he did in Cincinnati when Rudy Johnson started to emerge, and that is turn into that bad Corey Dillon we all remember. He's been nowhere close to that. He's been ideal.
And it actually seems like he's having a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Yep. Dan Heffron, again, you're talking about the poem, the Christmas poem. He says, Tom, I am married. I have a 2-year-old son. Just so you know, the Christmas poem is meant for fun, just to bring up funny moments each year. I didn't think it hurt anyone's feelings or made anyone feel like they were being attacked.
What's the Christmas
poem? That's true of Dan's, but that's not going to be true of Tom's.
Right. No, just Dan, you can't hurt my feelings. Nobody can. I'm not a human being. I don't have feelings. Nobody can hurt my feelings. So anything you say,
look at that douchebag,
is not hurting my feelings. I just thought, since you poke fun at us, I'm going to poke fun back at you.
I pull that lever down, and I say, there, I've done my duty.
It's all in good fun.
Can I ask you? I'm chronic. I go on message boards and read what PatsFans.com and whatnot. Are those kids attacking you? Do you have a beef with the Pats?
Oh, Tom got.
You know, oh, yeah.
There was a lynch mob after
I was
Tom.
There during the Chad Jackson thing.
What do you mean? Oh, at the.
I was the only one that saw it. And I brought it up, but I didn't bring it into specifics, you know, because I worked for the team and stuff and didn't think it would be a good idea. And I was attacked because I don't know how to be a journalist, because I wasn't reporting the facts and I was smearing his name. I should apologize to him, because I'm getting all over a 21-year-old kid, when actually I just don't feel that the things he said are relevant for this radio show, to be honest.
Well, and you said it off the top, and good for you. You work for the team. That's who puts food on your table, literally. I don't blame you for not trying to piss him off. That's a problem with some people who have a natural allegiance. Dale Arnold. Okay,
is the
biggest Bruins ball washer you'll ever see. It's grotesque, right?
Nice package, Bear.
But he plays himself off as objective, and he tries to, and he gets uptight when people make that association.
Right.
Stop!
See, it's one thing.
If I were Dale, I would come on and say, I work for the team, guys. Yeah. I'm not going to rip Jerry Jacobs. I apologize.
Well,
I like this gig, so I'm a little bit less than objective. Yeah. There's no shame in saying that.
Well, he used vulgar language, and I don't want to repeat.
Was that Chad Jackson?
Yeah, walking in. I mean, I don't know what the situation was. I know he was taken aside by he was looked at weirdly by some of the veterans and was taken aside and has not been a problem since. So it was obviously addressed. And obviously I wasn't the only one who thought it was a problem.
Was he hammy?
I don't know what was going on, but he walked in like he owned the place. He said some things that weren't appropriate for that situation, which I should say Mr. Kraft
actually
called the most important non-football thing that this organization does. So if it's that important to him.
And that's all you need to say. Why do people need to know the exact thing?
I got trashed for not knowing how to be a reporter.
I think that's more than anyone else, you know, reported,
so,
you know.
Have you settled your differences with the message board crew?
I'm off the message board. I'm done with them.
Oh, were you on it?
Huh?
You were on
it? I used to go read them and stuff, but they don't want me. I don't want them.
Oh, come on.
It's too fun. It's like crack.
No, the day that happened, Tom opened up the show and goes, look, I got to get this up. And he went on a tirade of tirades.
The guy said that we were purposely trying to smear a young kid, and I said, we work for the team. What possible advantages could we have? I mean, I've never been to a Super Bowl. This is only my second year. I have no Super Bowl ring. What possible advantage could I have?
Do you guys get Super Bowl rings?
A 21-year-old kid.
Sometimes.
Or a watch.
Yeah. Some things, you know.
I see. Yeah. But don't, you know, the message boards are too fun.
No,
you gotta read
them.
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
Plus, I like to know what the fans are saying.
Sure.
You know?
I mean, I don't know if those are the true, I mean, those are the you know, the hardcores.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Tom goes into the search. He types in Casale. There are 100 matches to your search.
Can you do that? Really?
Yeah.
Show me how to do that.
It's easy. They all have search fields. You just type in whatever you want. They'll...
Yeah, if you put in Felger, you'll see Mini Borges and all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I see all that. It's good. It's good stuff. Give me a break.
All right. Should we take a break, Gary? Let's do that. We'll be right back.
Breaks a tackle. Drives it upfield. To the 10. To the 5. Touchdown. Benjamin Watson.
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed mini helmet limited to the first 400 qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom...
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard... A little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Clint Dempsey of your New England Revolution. We're headed back to the playoffs for the fifth straight season. Another MLS Cup appearance and our first ever championship is the only goal.
Dempsey, the goal!
Saturday, October 28th at 7:30 p.m., we kick off our quest for the cup against Chicago Fire at Gillette Stadium, and we want you there.
New England is revved up for another postseason appearance and a trip back to MLS Cup. Playoff action and soccer passion explodes Saturday, October 28th at Gillette Stadium. Join 2006 Honda Player of the Year Clint Dempsey and the rest of the Revs on the quest for the cup. With tickets starting at just $18, free parking, and free admittance to the interactive soccer theme park soccer celebration, New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun night for the whole family. Don't miss it! Be a part of the playoff passion by calling 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 and get your kicks, get your playoff ticks, and get the Revolution!
How are you? Please, sit down.
What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
Hmm. What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house. Even when I'm at the movies, it happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi. It's the cola.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack Sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots Brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack Sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
Hmm. What else?
You know, I take a sip. And suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi. It's the cola.
That's what I'm talking about. If you're a dead fan, Mike, call it, Fred.
What song is that?
Truck it. I got American Beauty.
You can stop playing it now, Gary. We've heard it.
Oh, let it roll, baby.
Terrapin Station. I'm a dead fan.
All right.
I'm a dead fan.
Talking about.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Fred Kurz, Tom Casale, and Mike Felger of 890 ESPN Radio and the Boston Herald and what else?
We heard about Fred's motorcycle riding earlier today.
Felger. I used to ride bikes. You know, we're not all bad people. Tom wants to outlaw them.
Well, they should outlaw them on certain streets. It's noise pollution.
Well, but not all bikes are like that. The bikes I say outlaw. See, there's too many. My second bike was a shaft driven bike. Not everybody's bike, is. Not everyone's that. It's quieter. Outlaw than the them all. Outlaw. Don't vote for me for governor. I'll tell you that much. I could see you riding around on one of those Segways. You know, you know what I'm talking about. I could definitely use one of those.
All right. Earlier in the show, I brought up a topic that we haven't got to yet, and I it really bothers me. This Michael Irvin thing with Tiki Barber, how he's coming down, and Tiki Barber's actually causing a distraction for his team, and he's, you know, how could a rookie take advice from a guy who's quitting on the team?
Now, what's your problem?
I have a problem because, first of all, you know, it came out in a thing, I guess it was inadvertent. Some guy was following around Tiki Barber,
yep.
And he mentioned that this could be his last year. And since then, he's confirmed it. Yeah, this is going to be my last year. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Now I'll tell you what. So Michael Irvin gives his opinion, which he's paid to do, right?
Right.
So what does Tiki Barber do? Retaliate and give specific names on his own radio show. You know what that is? Distraction. He's making it a distraction by keep talking about it. Listen, if guys on ESPN want to say something, let them say it.
No, no, no.
But now he's
Michael Irvin questioned his integrity, called him a quitter.
You know
why? You should let that guy get away with that? Now, I understand with ESPN, it's all about ratings, and you want people to say inflammatory statements and all that stuff. But, I mean,
that's Michael Irvin's opinion. He played in the NFL.
These guys are all ultra-competitive guys.
Michael Irvin will
come out and defend Terrell Owens and can't see Tiki Barber's side?
I just think the longer, like, now with Barber coming back like this, now I think, yeah, now it could be a distraction. I agree with you that your first point, that when it first came out, all the players apparently knew and everything, so big deal. But now, if you keep going back and forth and drag it out, then yes, now the media is going to glob on to this every week.
To me, it's selfish. It's selfish to let it out there. It is. It's because what do you have to do? It's team. It's not about you and your thing. I mean, Belichick, this is his, what, seventh year? Has one player ever said, this is it for me this year? Never. Not one. And they've had...
And training camp, he's had an offensive lineman almost every year do it.
Well, but they've done it.
Right.
I mean, it's not like... I mean, they've had at least a dozen guys who were in their last year or about to... I mean, thinking, you know, the Pfeiffers and Otis Smiths and, I mean, just go down the line. A lot of older players...
Yeah, but none of them actually retired.
They just weren't
re-signed.
No, they played their last year here. They knew it was their last year, and you'd ask them about it, and they would never come close to admitting it. Troy Brown will never come close to it.
Roman Pfeiffer ever filed his retirement papers?
Well, but it's different. What's wrong with a guy saying this is it?
What if he doesn't retire, though?
Okay, I got a problem. If he's using it to hold, you know, try to get some more money out of the Giants or, you know, increase his value because now in order for him to play, we're going to have to give him, I have a problem. But if he really means it,
Fred,
what's wrong with that?
My bet is that talking about retirement or your career path is on the same list as injuries and contracts. We don't talk about injuries. We don't talk about contracts. I don't want to hear about retirement. You know, in some of your private behind-the-scene moments, Mr. Big Executive here in Foxborough, ask someone about that because I can't
even find my name in the media.
Oh, I found it. I've been down there. I mean, I've been down there every day for 7 years, covered some old players who you knew were at the end, and they don't go there. They don't go there. And I think it's, if you ask me, it's a Belichick thing. We don't talk about it.
I'm with you. And to say that the guy was following him around, listen, if you don't want something out, it's not getting out.
Don't talk about it in front of the New York Times reporter.
Right.
Safety tip.
Yeah. Well, I just don't think it's that big a deal as you guys do. You know, guy like, is there any question about the work that Tiki Barber puts in to be the player that he is? I mean, he wasn't even supposed to be this good.
I don't think Irvin was questioning that.
I think he's quit on his team is one of the comments that he made.
He said he's quitting. Yeah, but I don't think he questioned his work ethic.
Well, what is
that's not exactly a ringing endorsement of someone's work ethic.
No,
a quitter.
It's different. He's saying that he's already told him that I'm not going to be here next year. He's saying as a leader. He never said anything about his work ethic. I heard the whole thing, Fred. He ain't going to get nothing past me. He's talking about him as a leader. Players can't come up to him anymore and say because they know, well, he's not in battle with us. That's what he was saying.
But that makes no sense. He is in battle with them. He's you know, his numbers are as good, if not better, than they were last year when he was, you know, I think he led the league in yards from scrimmage or something like that.
Right.
I mean, he's still the warrior that he always was. He's come out and said, look, I think we're ready to win a Super Bowl this year, and this is it. This is my last run. If anything, he's going to put more in this year than he ever has because this is his last chance to win a ring.
I agree with Felger. I don't think he should have put it out, but this is what I think ESPN does.
Well, maybe he regrets
I think ESPN does. I think every time something like this happens, they have, it's like reality TV.
They have
a script. They said, Mike, you used to play for the Cowboys. People can say you just hate the Giants and everything. Why don't you say this? Tom Jackson, you say this. That's what I think goes on at ESPN, because I think they're all clowns, and I think it goes by reality TV scripts.
Not Ron Jaworski, though. He gets our paper. he loves it.
We love Jaws.
No, I mean, there are a few good people.
There's a couple, but I'm just saying. It's basically a reality TV show. That's
when it's
it
Tom Jackson, Chris Berman, Tom Jackson's okay.
Mm-hmm.
When it's just two of them, they just load up. I mean, they go to that desk and there's six guys sitting there. It's like, come on, people.
And they're each grabbing each other's arms, trying to make points and all that. But these guys, you know, I think a lot of the guys like Michael Irvin and not so much Tom Jackson. I mean, God knows he's been doing it long enough. But a lot of these guys, they never really, in their mind, stop being the player.
And that's the problem with Irvin is that, A, he had to retire before he wanted to. B, he was a coke addict who no longer does that. So,
well, are you sure about that?
Well,
I mean, I'll tell you what, I see him.
If he doesn't, I'm saying the two highs he once had, he once got are now gone, and maybe he had, that's a little backlash. And I'm with you, I'm not so sure that that's over with.
Sometimes you look at that telecast, you're like, geez.
Well, I'll tell you, I was reading on, I think it was Mike Florio's site, about the day after T.O. got found with the pills, and they brought in.
Oh, I noticed it too. He looked weird.
His eyes were glassy.
Irvin, did you see him? Yeah.
He did not look right.
He's been that way a couple of times on ESPN, and it's usually on things where he's not supposed to be there,
not
where they
scheduled.
Bring him in.
Right. Now, hell.
Lying your ass off.
Maybe he was up all night with Owens and
right.
he didn't get. I'm going to give him, but he didn't look right.
No.
And I'm not the one that wrote that. That was. Somebody else giving,
And I'm just afraid, knowing Irvin the way I do, that's he can never get away from the high.
Is it true that he frisks the guests that come to his house? He frisks them?
Well, that's what he said when he got caught with that pipe in his car.
Lying your ass.
It was part of the, it was his cousin's pipe that he put into rehab, so he confiscated the pipe from him and just left it in his car. When this guy comes over to his house, he usually frisks him to make sure it never comes in the house.
So it's just that guy. Not all his guests.
That's what I remember.
Okay.
I mean, I could be wrong.
All right. So,
well, let's not forget the main point, that Michael Irvin is an idiot.
Yeah.
Well, he is. But, but they love him on that show, I guess, because they got rid of, who'd they get rid of and they kept
Sharp.
Him? They got rid of Sharp and they kept him.
Oh, he's terrible, too.
Both of them are.
God. I had such high hopes for Kornheiser. And it was not to be.
It's not working out.
Well, you know, who's pretty good. And he does. I think he works for CBS, and he does the. He'll be stationed at a stadium on game days. Rich Gannon, I like him. He's pretty good.
I don't know if I've heard him. I mean, we don't usually get to hear the announcers that often. I don't know if I've heard him yet.
Yeah, no, he's very eloquent. He's not reading off a cue card, but he doesn't stumble. And this is his basically first year doing it. I think he's good. I think he's got a career, and I think Tiki Barber does.
Oh, he can do it. Yeah, he can do whatever he wants. He's a smart guy.
So, but some of these guys can do it, some can't. But it just seemed like the Sharp brothers—they just keep giving him chance after chance after chance. I don't know.
Well,
why.
The thing with Shannon is they were showing like the top 10 trash talking moments, and they show the Ray Buchanan. Is he my friend? No. Do I like him? No. And when he was a player, he was so good at sound bites. I think they thought that was going to translate to the booth, but it hasn't.
It doesn't.
When he was a player, he was just saying what he felt. Now in the booth, it's kind of more structured, and he just doesn't have what it takes.
Dan is a huge Pats fan living in St. Louis. He says, a little perspective here. While professional athletes, coaches, and owners might make you feel like you were on the same level as a car salesman, us mortals representing the other 99.99% of the population admire and highly respect what you do. Without you guys, we'd have nothing but our weak memories to carry us from Sunday to Sunday. Keep up the excellent work.
What are you, I'm school paper?
Remember that, people on the message boards.
Suck up.
Oh, well, hey, I...
Geez, you can't even give this guy a compliment.
No, I think that... I don't agree with Mike. I think that sports.
Oh, we're the lowest of the low.
No, I think we're held a little higher esteem than those who work for commission. So we're not trying.
Well, okay. I mean, how about around here? Who's lower than us around here?
Oh, in New England?
Yeah, well, no, I'm talking at Gillette Stadium. The dude scrubbing the inside of the toilets.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
actually, Mike, that's us.
we are.
Yeah. No.
Here it is.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the sausage guy gets a little more respect.
Necessary evil. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Craig, if Pats win, Vikings rated Pats/sales, or Pats at home in Metrodome, or Patriots guns mightier than sword. And if the Vikes win, Vikings sale over Pats. Oh, okay. Not bad. Not bad. We'll see what happens with that.
I don't know why you even brought this up, Fred, because you're the only one that makes the cover thing anyway. You don't take anyone's opinion. So,
Do I get them?
What kind of headline
don't ask anybody? Sucked. When we don't like it, you say, no, it's good. Trust me, it's pithy.
What kind of headline do you expect? Who's winning this game, Tommy?
I think the Vikings are going to win.
Fred?
What? What do you mean?
I asked you at the beginning of the show if you changed your opinion, and you said no, and now all of a sudden you're picking the Vikings.
No, I said it's going to be very close, and Brady usually pulls those games out. This is what I said.
If it's close, the Patriots win.
Yeah, right. This is my gut.
Wait,
listen,
you are sucking up
to
him.
No, listen, I said it yesterday, so shut up and listen to me. I said my gut tells me that the Vikings will win big, but my gut got me to bankruptcy when I was a gambler. So now I use my head, and every time I pick against the freaking Patriots, I think they've outscored their opponents 98-13. So it's hard to pick against them because they never lose.
Right.
But my gut tells me that the Patriots could be in for a long night Monday.
Yeah, I think they lose.
I mean, I think it could be a close game, too, and absolutely the Patriots can lose this game. But I'm picking the Patriots.
They're so good in close
games.
Every time I pick the Pats, I pick them to lose big because if it's close, I think they win.
Right.
And they win their close games. If you look, I mean, just look at the games they've lost. Even last year, they don't lose close games.
Yeah.
They just don't. When
Brady will make a play, they find.
It comes down to a handful of plays in the fourth quarter, they're going to make one the other guy.
You just said that the Vikings are going to win.
I said that's my gut. My head, I'm going with the Patriots.
Well, what do you? You got to have an official prediction. I mean,
yeah.
the two have got to come together and come up with something.
On TV, you pick the Patriots,
right? In a close game.
Okay,
yeah.
Well then,
yeah,
because I think the game's going to be relatively close. But,
well, I don't think any of us think it's going to be.
But I
think it's going to be high scoring.
Let me put it this way:
but for both teams,
let me put it this
get
way:
get off the fence.
If I was still in my former life, I would have the Vikings Monday night, and I'd have them big.
With 2 points.
Yes.
Okay.
It's Patriots minus two?
And that, yeah.
Oh, well, home team on Monday night. Is there a more automatic
thing
than that?
I'm just telling you how if
home.
Wait, Tom went bankrupt.
No, I meant home dog on Monday night. The home dog on Monday night is.
That's a good play.
Yeah.
Always is.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Fred and Tom signing out. Mike, you sticking around or something?
Yeah, I'm waiting for players to come in to interview, man.
All right. And is John Rook coming, Gary, or is he at home?
As is every Friday for the past 5 years.
Yeah, that's off.
Yesterday's show.
Just the last 5 years.
Oh, he's off now?
I was going to say his.
Okay. All right, well, we'll see you. I don't know. God knows.
Tune in to 890ESPN.com for the Felger Show starting at 4.
Okay.
Cazale will come back
down. There you go. And then we're not back until Wednesday.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yes, if I feel like coming to work.
It's going to be a brutal week. All right, we'll see you.